and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, naturally. As we were worshiping, we sang a song. Now, I don't like, I'm not trying to tear apart or pull down any songs, but words are very important. Amen? Words are very, very important to you. You speak life, life comes. You speak death, death comes. It's just the way it is. God created us that way, that we have the power over life and death by our tongue. Amen? So here we are, we're singing a song. It's a good song. The heart of worship. Amen? And I'm listening to it, and all of a sudden we come to the part, and it says, I'm coming back to you. I'm coming back to you, to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to you. And I'm sitting there, and it's right. It's not sitting right with me. And he said, and this is what I said to myself, and I'm not sure it was the Holy Spirit or me. I said, no, Lord, I'm not going back. You're bringing me back. You understand its significance there. One is I'm doing this. That's what got them into trouble in the first place. They were doing it their way. Amen? So I was singing, and I was meditating on it. I said, Lord, you're bringing me back to the heart of worship. Amen? And as he was doing that, this other thought came to me that said, but the word says if you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. Amen? And I said, well, what about that, Lord? And the Lord says, you can't draw close to me unless my Holy Spirit draws you. All your works are filthy rags. All the worship, all the praise, all the things we do standing, all of it. If we are doing it, it's all about us. And as long as you live your life about you, you will never experience the very supernatural life that God intended. So is that a bad song? No, it isn't. But unless we recognize that even in our worship, we sing about us, we exalt us. Amen? And someone there, if we say Jesus, then we said, oh, it's all about him. No. 3/4 of it, 75% is all about us. Maybe we give him a quarter of it. But recognize that God is able. Amen? God is able. In order to live a supernatural life, we have to die to the old life. We have to recognize when we are more concerned about us than drawing close to God. I'm not talking about people who go to church. A lot of people go to church. Got nothing to do with it. I'm talking about a supernatural living above and not below. That when you pray, you speak life and life comes. When you ask, you receive. When you knock, it opens to you. Not by your efforts. It's through your obedience to the Holy Spirit that all the good things of God are open to us. Amen? And but look, you don't go, oh man, now I can't sing that song anymore. That's not it. Don't go there. That's not what it's all about. I don't hate that song. And I don't hate everything I do. But I do recognize most of my life is about me. And I'm not drawn close to Jesus because of me. I'm drawn close to him because the Holy Spirit is drawn to him. Amen? And once you submit to that drawing, now you know what it's all about when you worship him. Because true worship is about prostrating yourself before the living King. And when you listen, when you get to that place of worship, it becomes the fear of God. You are there and you are saying, Lord, I am not even worthy to look up to you. I'm not even worthy to call Jesus Lord. It's by grace and grace alone through faith I'm able to recognize that I am a child of God. Not by my works. Not by me drawing closer to him or me doing all the right things, not going to church, not, you know, not any of that. It's because the Holy Spirit. You don't even read the Word of God. If you read the Word of God because somebody says you have to read the Word of God, it just becomes a desert. It just becomes dry in your mouth, and it's just a waste of time. But when the Word of God becomes alive in you, amen? When the Word of God becomes alive in you, how's it become alive in you? By the Spirit of God. No other way. No other way. So there's people who read the Bible and they say, I don't see what you see in this. I don't see why you go to church. I don't see why you worship. I don't see why you do all that stuff. Because it's not alive in them. The only way it can be alive in them is that they are seeking that life of the Holy Spirit. Because the only life that comes is when the Holy Spirit came and brought you life. And understand it, you can't just live on the past glory or the past life. You have to live on a new, fresh manna every day. You have to have a fresh revelation of the Holy Spirit working you today. You have to have a heart filled with thanksgiving and praise. And just, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you. You saved me. I mean, if nothing else, today I recognize, I remember where I was. Now I know where I am. Not by my might, not by my power, by your grace, through the power of your Holy Spirit and a transformation work of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't draw close to him in worship. I draw close to him because I'm seeking the Holy Spirit's will for my life. And out of obedience, because he said he inhabits the praises of our people. Amen? So, just because we sing songs, and trust me, when we were doing that, because I like to enter in, but for that whole song, I lost it because God was speaking to me. And maybe that was the purpose of it. The other songs that went on, good. I liked them. And I like that song. Don't get me wrong. I like that song. Now you don't know what to do with it, do you? How about this? We do the song, and that words we change and say, you bring me back. You bring me back. Amen? No, I'm serious. You bring me back to the heart of worship. Brothers and sisters, we have no power to get close to God outside of the Holy Spirit. We don't. And let me also say that without the Word of God, forget it too, because the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Word. Amen? So if you can try and walk by the Spirit without the Word, it won't work. You can come in here. And the Spirit of God, I keep telling people, get up front. There's a greater anointing up here. Why? Because when you sit back there, all you do is watch the people up front. And you get your eyes off of him. Amen? I'm telling you. It's not a big deal. But what if I go up front and nothing happens? Come up next time. But if you don't have the Word of God working in your life, you'll have an experience with the Spirit of God here, but you will leave, and it will make no difference for your life. And every day, you'll come back and say, oh, I can't wait till Sunday so we can have the same experience again. Sounds like a drug addict, doesn't it? Alcoholic. Oh, if I could just have that experience again. You can have it every day. You don't need to be here for it. Once you get into the Word and you say, Holy Spirit, show me the way. Show you the way to what? To the Father? To the Son? Show me the way. And he'll bring you through. Amen? Glory to God. All right, I'm done. So don't drop the song. I'm going to say this again. Just do me a favor, change it. You are drawing us back to the heart of worship. Okay? Think you can get that? I know there's going to be a hard time there. People are going to go, oh no, we can't sing this. Pastor doesn't like that song. And I'm sure with all my heart that people don't realize exactly what's going on. I'm sure their heart was right. I'm sure what they wanted was right. And probably I'm being more picky than I need to be. But who cares? I'm telling you what God spoke to me. You have to go to God and get your own answers. You understand that? I'm not here to bring you answers. I'm trying to push you to Him who has all the answers. You have the very essence of the one who created everything, including the person who wrote the song, living in you. Not only is He living in you, He is with you. That means the power internally to transform you into the image of Christ. The first thing He's going to do is make a revelation to you of who you are. Amen? Don't identify yourself as Joe Schmuck, who lives at John Street. I'm a child of the living God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am filled with the very essence and power of the living God. The very Holy Spirit Himself dwells within me. I am more than what you see here. Like we sang that song. Was it that song or another song? In the heart. No, not the heart of worship. The other one. The scripture that you gave where He's talking about God says, I look not at the outward, but the inward, to the heart. He was talking about, well, the scripture was good. We'll leave it at that. God's word is always good. But how we jump from there to there sometimes isn't always perfect, okay? So we have to be led by the Spirit to get us from there to there. Amen? We want to be led by the Spirit, not by what we think is right. And too many times we say, this is what I believe, rather than what the Holy Spirit spoke to us. Because we're impatient. We don't wait. I want to hear what you've got to say about this. Amen? All right. So, getting to know Him. Who? The third part of the Trinity? How many of you know Trinity is not in the Bible? The word Trinity is not in the Bible. You know that? But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is. We call it the Trinity, three parts, but one God. Amen? Three parts, one God. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. He said, I do nothing except what I see the Father doing. How many of you know? Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus, and he said, Father, open the eyes of their understanding. What's he saying? He said, open their spiritual eyes that they may see. Amen? What do you want to see? You want to see what the Father has intended. You want to see the Father's intent is for you to be healed. Amen? God went about, through Jesus, His Son, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I haven't changed. If you can see it and believe it, all things are possible. What happens is we're trying to look with these eyes, and we can't see the Holy Spirit of God with the natural eye. You have to do it with the supernatural eyes. The eyes of the Spirit. If you are born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. Right? We talked about that before. You have the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God has eyes. How many know that? The Spirit of God has ears. The Spirit of God has a mouth. Amen? God, He is a real person. I told you what a person the word I want to use I lost. What constitute a person? We said it was knowledge. Amen. A will. And emotions. or your mind, your thoughts, your feelings. And so if we can establish that the Holy Spirit has these three things, these three entities, we can establish the fact that he is a real person, not a feeling, not an emotion, not something that you just, you know, wisp of smoke that comes along. He's real. Now, if I said to you, there's a billionaire over here who wants to get to know you, and he wants to get to know you so that he can impart to you his fortune when he dies. How many here would say, nah, I'm not interested? Nah, not me. Come on. But there was one like that. His name was Jesus. And he said, I want to impart to you my fortune. For the riches of the kingdom of God are not with hands, with money and all the other good stuff this world has to offer. The riches of the kingdom of God is a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit himself. God himself. Because when you have those riches operating in your life, you can ask him for anything. And he'll do it. According to his will. Why do I have to get to know his will? Because you don't want to waste your energy asking for something that's outside of his will. Amen? So our goal now, in whatever time we have left, before he comes back and takes us home in the rapture, or we go by the way of the grave, however it is, whatever the way is, let's live our life according to the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So not only can we live a good and godly life here, but we can be an effective witness for others to know him. Your family's first. Out here. Yes, Lord. He just said this. He said, you're in your home, and sometimes it feels like a prison because you can't say what you want to say. Amen? Feels like a prison. You can't do what you want to do. As God says, raise your hands and praise me. You can't because you're going to bother other people. It's like you're being held captive. This is what he said. Just like my apostles were in a prison, he said, if you will worship me, I'll shake the very foundations of your home. And just like the prison guard, your whole family will get saved. Amen? The word says that Jesus came to set the captives free. If you're being held captive by your inability to worship and to say, share the good news or whatever it is, I don't care where it is. It could be in your job, it could be in your home, it could be wherever it is. As the Spirit moves on you to worship, you worship. God will shake the very foundations of the prison that you're being held captive in. That was from God, guys. That's up to you. 1 Corinthians 2. Hallelujah. Let's go here. I've been trying to get to this for about 3 or 4 weeks now. So we're going to get there today. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to start in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So in other words, in your natural eyes, you're not going to see it. With your natural ears, you're not going to hear it. It's not going to happen that way. Even in your heart, you can't conceive of what God has planned for you. Amen? What happens is, people, when people look with their natural eyes and listen with their natural ears, and their heart is filled with a burden of unsaved loved ones, let's say, all they can see is the fear of their eternal life being lost forever. That's all they can see. They see all the things they're doing wrong. They're seeing all the things they've got to change. Praise God that God never required you to be right or to change before you got saved. Amen? But God. And when you're walking by the Spirit, you will start to see what the Spirit is seeing. That when you prayed, the moment you prayed, God heard your prayer. There's a battle between there and the answer. There's a battle going on. But if you walk by the Spirit and not doubt God that when you stood praying, you believed that you had what you asked for, you will see it come to pass. But when you get back into the flesh and you see and you say, this isn't God, I don't see how they can get saved. Look at them. Well, you could have said the same thing about us before we got saved. Even some of us now, after we got saved. How can God? How, you know, the Holy Spirit, it's like going through a car wash. He's into working right now. You ever take your car to a car wash that does full thing, right? What's the first thing they do? They clean the inside. God's cleaning some insides right now. The outside will be clean. Don't worry about that. That just flows with it. That just naturally. Once that thing starts on that path, if you are saved, you're on that path. They're cleaning the inside first. No good to clean up the outside if the inside is not clean. Amen? Glory to God. Holy Spirit car wash. I'm serious. See, I see things that way. I see how God works because God reveals it to me that way. Because I'm it's just a natural. That's what I see. But the Holy Spirit's at work. So look what he said here. He said, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Yay! But God. Amen. But God. Excuse me. But God. That's the change. That's the transformation. That's the move from one end to the other. But God. Amen? The outside's dirty, but God is working on the inside. As long as you don't get out of line, it'll go through the car wash just fine. The moment you decide to get out of line, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So if we're not walking by the Spirit, we're going to see a mess and figure out, oh, how can I make it through this? How can I go on? How can it change? How can it be better? How can it? You can't in your own natural eyes think it's going to get better. But God. If you're walking by the Spirit, you start seeing things as the Spirit leads you to see them. People aren't feeling well, so I'll stay home. Is that the Holy Spirit telling you to do that? Is it? I mean, everybody makes up their own mind to these things. But if I'm going to walk by the Spirit, do you think the Spirit of God can give me the strength to get to church, to get prayer so I can be healed? Getting quiet in here. Do you understand? You can't walk by the Spirit sometimes and not other times. You can't just do it that way. It doesn't work that way. Either you're fully committed, either you die to self daily, or you don't. The moment you start walking once in a while, the when I feel good or when I want it to happen or when things are going right in my life, you'll never see the fullness of what God intended for your life. You can't go in and out of the flesh and walk by faith. You have to commit to the Spirit of God. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Please, Father, lead me and guide me. Don't let me fall back into the old nature. Don't let me fall backwards into the old ways. Because I want your way. At the moment when you start doing that, you don't see anything. You're saying to yourself, nothing's changed. Because you can't see what's changed. What's changed is inside. Something happened. You gave God the right to enter into your life and change it. But I don't like always the way it's going. The natural man, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has conceived all that God has prepared for those who love him and called according to his purpose. Now listen, the Bible tells us that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Sometimes, because of the hardness of our head, not the hardness of your heart. The heart has been taken out. The heart of stone's been taken out. You've been given a heart of flesh. So your heart is already being prepared. It's already prepared to receive what the Spirit is trying to bring to you. But the head many times stays hard. That's why he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Through the Word of God. That's why you got to have the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Because it's the mind that is contrary to the ways of God. It wants to follow its own soulish ways. What makes me feel good. What I like to do. What I like to see. What I like to say. What I like to be. All this stuff. And we haven't been renewed in our mind in the ways of God. That only comes through the Word of God. But once you establish that fact, and you say to God, God, I want to live my life for you. I want your will to be done, not mine. God starts working to bring you into a life of supernatural living. No matter how it looks, no matter what's going on in your life, you still have him. Amen? Walking by the Spirit. He goes on to say, listen what he says here. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows or has knowledge the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows or has knowledge of the things of God except the Spirit of God. So what's the Spirit of God doing? He's bringing you knowledge. Knowledge. He has a way of knowledge. He has. He's bringing that to you. The very knowledge of God. God said to Moses, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I said Moses wasn't. But you understand? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God wants you to think on a higher plane. That's why when you look at this world, and yes, there is gross darkness in the world, gross darkness on the people. There is a bad world out there. But God, and the Spirit of God, we don't get consumed with what's going on in the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. Our citizenship is where? Heaven. The city that we're looking for is there, not down here. Don't expect this world to invite you into it and rejoice because you are part of it. If you're going to live a supernatural life, the natural has to die. And that means there's going to be people who are going to reject you because they're going to think, oh, who do you think you are? They'll draw you, try to bring you right back into the same pit that they're in. I got to be careful. I listen to the news and read the news. I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to be caught up in that. How many know you can get angry real quick? Get discouraged real quick. You can come into a place where your whole day can be ruined because of one stupid news report that's probably not even true. Amen? We listen to these people. We listen to TV. We listen to radio. We listen to all this stuff. Well, I don't listen to the news. Well, that doesn't matter. Look at the people's lives. It's just as bad. Most of them are living a life that's a lie. Without Christ, there is no power to live a good life. How do we know that? Well, look around you. Hollywood says this is what life is all about, and they put it on the film and on the screen. And so if you don't have this type of life, then you are not living. The newspapers, news reports all have their idea what life is. Washington all has their idea what life is. Now, who do you think is right? God. Because he's got his idea what life is. And the more we live our life in obedience to his will, that means we're walking by the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah, but I like that. I love doing that. Well, God doesn't care about that. God cares about the hairs on your head. Do you think he cares about what you're saying and doing? Right? Why? Because he's mad at you? No! Because he's concerned about you. And he knows as long as you keep living your life this way, eventually you are going to fall into a pit that's a mess. And it's going to take a miracle to get you up out of it. But we can live by the Spirit. We can have the knowledge that comes from above. The same knowledge that created everything. The same knowledge that holds everything together. Now, if God is capable of holding the universe together, all the stars are in heaven hanging there because he set them there and he upholds all things. He's capable. Do you think he can hold your life together? I think he's capable of doing that. There's trillions upon trillions, and there's another word that I don't even know what it is, of stars. Not one of them are colliding into the other. How is that possible? Except God is a great and awesome God. If he can put his whole creation together, I think he has a capacity to hold our lives together in a good way. And even when you do, we sang in this world, you're going to have troubles. Yeah, you're going to. In this world. But then he said, don't worry about it. I've overcome this world. He said, what overcomes this world? Your faith. So God says, I've already taken care of your trouble before you get there if you will do what I tell you to do. This, and I did a message many years ago. I said, you're not a pinball in a pinball machine. Your life isn't like a big unseen arm took it and pulled back, and you're a little ball there, and you go up there, and you just bounce all over the place and hope that you end up in the right hole. Amen? And that's the way a lot of people live their lives, like there's no control. God says, I'm in control. If you will follow my lead, I will make sure that you fall into the right hole at the right time. But as long as you continue to choose your path to follow, don't be surprised when you end up with the nothing. Hallelujah. God has given you, all of us, the ability to live a victorious life. Yes. And we have even a greater victory when we leave this life. Amen? He wants you to be a light to those in darkness. And he doesn't want you to be some little candle off in the corner. Oh, this little candle of mine, I'm going to let it shine. No. My God is a big, bright light. Matter of fact, they said when you see Jesus, he's brighter than the sun. That same brightness lives in each and every one of us. He said when he was here, he said, I'm the light of the world, remember? But he said when he left, he said, now you're the light of the world. Why? Because the same light that was in Christ is in you. What is that light? The Holy Spirit. What did he say in Isaiah? He said, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen? The glory, the power, the Holy Spirit himself. As we gain knowledge of the ways of God through the Word of God, and listen, just reading it isn't enough. You say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to get into the Word. Now, I want you to bring divine revelation to me. Don't try to figure things out. Just let the Holy Spirit bring it to you. And receive it. I mean, that's it. Just receive it. This is not a difficult thing. And it's not how much you read. It's just in your heart is a desire to know Him. And the Holy Spirit says, I will bring you that knowledge. Because I see your heart's desire. And I'll fulfill your heart's desire. And I know your heart's desire is to know Him. And I am the one who knows Him better than anybody else. And because you asked, you shall receive. And as you start to walk in the knowledge of God, the brightness of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ starts to shine brighter and brighter. And all of a sudden, bam, you're starting to see things. You're starting to know things. And you're starting to see the fulfillment of God's promise in your life. The Holy Spirit knows the way to reach your families. The Holy Spirit knows the way to bring about your need to be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit knows the direction to take you to keep you from trouble. If He takes you into trouble, it's because He's trying to show you something. How many believe that God is in control and He's sovereign? Amen? If you're going through something, do you think God knows it? Do you think He's letting you go through it for no reason? You think He wants you to learn something? Amen? If you're going through something, God's got a greater purpose for your life. If you allow Him to take you through and lead you through, and you don't waste what you're going through. Do not waste what you're going through. Do not waste it. Don't pray for it to get over. Pray, Holy Spirit, teach me in the midst of this. Show me what the Father's will is. Yeah. Because there's purpose for everything. Every little thing. When your hair falls from your head, God says, I know it. When a bird falls from the sky, God says, I know it. There isn't anything that you're going through that God hasn't already seen beforehand and sent His Holy Spirit to guide you through it, sometimes around it by the grace of God, but sometimes through it for purpose. But He never leaves you in the midst of the battle. He never leaves you without hope for a future. He never leaves you without comfort and joy. He never leaves you alone. You understand? If you're walking by the Spirit, you'll never be alone. That's awesome. Because there's times when you're going through things, even the person you're with, your husband, your wife, your friends, they can't comprehend what you're going through. But there is one who knows. There is one who knows. And He knows the exact thing you need to get through it. And He provides it. Amen? The power of the Holy Spirit living supernaturally brings about God's will for your life. His will for your life is a good one. It's a good one. Amen? Glory to God. So He brings knowledge to us. What knowledge? The knowledge that's hidden from us, but it's in the deep things of God, the very revelation of God's thoughts and ways, and He reveals them to us. Now I understand, Lord. Now I understand. What's the next thing? 1 Corinthians 12. Go there. I'm going to hurry up this time. I'm not going to go so slow. Maybe. Hallelujah. Am I in the right one? No, I'm not. Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians. No wonder it didn't look right. Phew. Excuse me. Sorry. Yes. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Remember we said the will? Amen? There's a will? Now here it is. We all have wills. You all have your own will. And God created you that way. Amen? Jesus had His own will. And He could have followed His will. But He got to a point where He said, listen, I'd rather die than do my own way. Have my own will. I want Your will to be done. God showed me that a long time. I told you many times about that when He was in the garden. And He said to the Father, He said, Father, not my will. Right? Never. He said, actually, He said it this way. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. And the Lord showed me, He said, nevertheless, not my will. And what He was saying was, never the lesser will, which is mine, only the more glorious will, which is Yours. Amen? God will never fight you to do His will. He'll never strong arm you. He'll never do anything. He'll let you go your own way. Go ahead. And once you get to that place where all of a sudden you realize, I took a wrong turn someplace. I'm in Albuquerque instead of Albany, New York. When you figured out you took a wrong turn, repent. And God will put you right back on that path again. It may take a while to get back to Albany, but eventually you'll get there if you're being led by the Spirit. For as many times as you decide to change the path that God wants to set you on and you decide to go your own way, the more you do that, the longer it's going to take you to get to Albany. Of course, who wants to go there anyways? I agree with you, but that's beside the point. I'm only kidding. Albany's a great state. Praise God. Enough said. All right? So, the Holy Spirit has a will. And do you ever get the feeling sometimes you're butt up against your will and His will? How many here know the voice of the Holy Spirit? Really, you know His voice. How many? Amen? It's sweet, it's tender, it's not loud, and it's not screaming. How many ever heard that voice and ignored it? We all have. And the more you ignore it, the easier it becomes. The more you ignore it, the easier it becomes. The more you ignore it, the easier it becomes. The more you ignore it, the harder it is to come back. I have told people over and over, don't quit. I see it every day. I still see it. I know I can name people who are trying to come back. They can't. It's almost impossible. They always sit back and say, well, I would like to, but. Because their will is involved. Well, you know, I've invited people. I'll go pick you up. Don't quit, my friends. The more you quit, the easier it becomes to quit. And all the plans that God intended for you in this life will come to naught. Some of us here have been called to great things to do for God. We'll never fulfill that. But that doesn't mean they're not saved. They're saved. But they'll never fulfill their purpose here. And in essence, it becomes an empty life. And we look for all the ways of this world to satisfy the emptiness that's in us. When the only true way to follow and fulfill that emptiness is by repenting and doing what God instructs us to do. We'll always wonder, how come I'm not successful? How come this isn't working for me? How come that's not working for me? Hallelujah. So we know that the Holy Spirit has knowledge and a will. Romans 8, go there with me, please. Yeah. 8:27. Well, let's start in 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God has a mind, a will, emotions, thoughts. So we see that the Holy Spirit is not just a wind, or it's not just whatever. It's a person. The third part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, divine in nature, the very essence of who God is, sent forth to bring power to our lives, to transform us, to help us to be of the light, to be the witness, to be the God that God called us to be. Oh, you say, oh, you said He'd be God. Yes, because Jesus even said that. Called little gods, small g's. Let's look at here. We got two Boomhauers. We got a third one, won't use her. Two Boomhauers. Right? Father and son. How do you know they're father and son? Because they look like each other. They even at times act like each other. They talk like each other. Do we say because He is the Son that He's not a Boomhauer? No. If you are a child of God, created in His image and His likeness, are you not like your Father? No, not hopefully. Declare it. I'm just like my daddy. I'm just like God. I'm not God, but I'm like Him. See, that takes a boldness of knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit. How can you say something like that? That's blasphemy. No, it isn't. That's what God said. If you are His child, if you are His child, what separates you from His likeness? Let me ask you this. Does God the Father have God the Son and have God the Holy Spirit? Do you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in you? And the Holy Spirit actually says with you. So He's not only in you, but with you. So what distinguishes you from the Father? Jesus said it this way. If you see Me, you see the Father. If He can say that, and He had the Father dwelling in Him, do you have the Father dwelling in you? Do you have Jesus dwelling in you? You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Why can't you say, if you see Me, you see the Father? Why can't you do that? Because you're looking with your natural eyes. And you're afraid. You're afraid to say what God said. Because you're afraid to say what the Father said, you'll never see the promise of the Father fulfilled completely in your life. God never intended for one man to stand up and tell people. God intended for all men to be led by the Spirit. And when the Spirit speaks, you have been given the ability to speak the voice of God. Moses said something when he was out in the tent of meeting where he met with God. Somebody came and said, "Hey, there's people prophesying in the village, in the tent area." Moses said, "I wish that all would prophesy. God wishes that you all would prophesy." What was prophecy? Speak the mind and the will of God. There's times the Holy Spirit wants to move in you to speak a word of life to someone who's hurting, to speak a life of healing to someone who's dying. We don't know. Now we say, "Well, pastor can do all that." That's not the Holy Spirit's will. You're all been called to do His will. The key is you've got to get to know Him and stop living in fear of Him. I want you to know something. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. I like to do it. Some people, and rightfully so, they say, "Well, he's talking about the devil. Greater is the Holy Spirit in you than the devil." Yes. But I like to put it this way. Greater is He who is in me than he, meaning me, who lives in this worldly body. The Holy Spirit is transforming me by His power, not mine. He's starting to reveal to me even more so that I am His son. If I am His son, I should look like, sound like, and act like Him. We used to kid about it. We'd say, "Well, tell everybody the gift is here." Well, the gift isn't you. It's the Spirit of God in you. Wherever you go, you transport God Himself in three parts to wherever you go. So for you to say to yourself, "Well, God doesn't care if I do this or not do that or any of this stuff," you're wrong. Because it affects Him. When you're being led by the Spirit, it will always glorify Him. It won't glorify you. It'll glorify Him. Amen? God's will is that you have a supernatural life in this life and the life to come. To live a life that is so extraordinary, above the ordinary, that others would wonder and ask to you, "What is it about you?" And you're able to say, "It's not I, but the Christ who lives in me. For I was crucified with Him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God." Being led by the Spirit of God and bringing about God's will here on earth as it is in heaven. Who is He? Who is He? He's your comforter. And notice this. That word means helper. As you are being led by the Spirit, He will help you fulfill your purpose right now in every day of your life. Every day. Every day. Well, how do I know I'm being led by the Spirit? We'll talk about that another time. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. He's speaking to you now, even now. If you listen to Him, He is speaking to you now. Yeah, but telling me things I don't want to hear. A good parent always tells his children things they don't want to hear. If you say that you're a good parent and you let your children do everything they want to do without consideration, I don't call you a good parent. A good parent always corrects those whom he loves. A good parent also allows their children to learn. All right? So sometimes a child has to touch the hot stove so they understand that what you were saying is true. So sometimes the father allows you to touch things you shouldn't touch till you find out the reward you get from it is not so great. Hallelujah. Are you having fun yet? We're going to walk by the Spirit. We're being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is working in us. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise and we give you honor and all glory. We thank you, Father, for the tsunami of your Holy Spirit that's being poured out upon all flesh in these last hours and days. That we may be, Father God, the light, the witness. That we may live the life that you intended us to live, Father. So that others may know you. And that we would glorify you in this life. Help us, Father. Help us to walk by the Spirit. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.